big COVID for us. We have a Rodolfo's joined the number of speakers that have come till now. Again, I don't have to repeat this, but we know that the neshamas of this godman, Ahuva Bas Rav Mordechai Levi, Alei Shalom, Ms. Kleiner, Altamindel, Bas Rav Moshe Alei Shalom, Alei Shalom, and Ms. Kovitz, Rachel Miriam Bas Rav Shmuel, Alei Shalom. These neshamas meant a lot to all of us as people, and it always feels good that we're able to fulfill the Novominsky Rebbe's advice to me that to do things throughout the year as an Eloi Fridnei Nishlasen, and also to be Ma'or Rachman Mishmayim. And it's so special that Rabbi Goldfez was able to make the trek over.
It was very far.
Somehow Rabbi Goldfez found the middle school. Rabbi Goldfez is extremely beloved and popular Rebbe Rav in the high school. Of course, he is the Rav of Bet Yaakov Congregation, Bat Safra. And Rabbi Goldfez is also the Rav Amashi of the Star K on products which are Svarim products. So thank you very much, Rabbi Goldfez, for joining us. Rabbi Goldfez, Baruch Hashem.
So that made me to have three jobs, right? Gemara says, who's Satan, who Yisrahara, Malach HaMavis. So Malach HaMavis also has three jobs. I'm not sure if it's a compliment or not. But it's like this, he just was given 15 minutes. Usually takes me 15 minutes just to warm up. But anyway, the Meiri in his Hakdoma, in his introduction, you need to translate every word, or we don't need to translate every word? We don't need to answer the word, right? In the Zakdama, Meiri Talmud says, what is the most important? Now, every commandment in the Torah obviously is important. The Ten Commandments, right? Obviously, each one of them is not a suggestion, it's an obligation. But which one of them is the most important one? And he said the rule is, whenever you have a number, the last of the number includes everything inside it. Means Lo Sachmo, that the last of the Ten Commandments is the most important commandment in the Torah. Also, Rabbi Bachya in Kad HaKemach says the same thing. Most of the Rishonim, they all the quote and they say Lo Sachmot is the most important commandment in the Ten Commandments. Now, why it should be like that? Now, if someone would have asked us, probably we would say, Anochi Hashem Lokecha, I am your God, or denying God, probably that would be the most important mitzvah in the Ten Commandments. Why Lo Sachmot? Lo Sachmot means don't covet. That's the way it's translated. Why that one is more important than anything else? That would not come to our mind to say this is the most important one. Probably not believing in God. That would be most important commandment in the Torah. First of all, there is two mitzvah in the Torah. One is Lo Sachmo, the other one is Lo Sisave. Lo Sisave means the law in the Torah that a person should not desire. Lo Sachmo means a person does an action based on his desire. Right? You see someone has a nice tie. Rabbi Engelsberg has a very nice tie. And you like the tie and you go to Rabbi Engelsberg, can I buy your tie? And he says, no, it's $10. He says, listen, I pay $50, but I'm not going to sell it for $60. You say, this is $100. And you buy it. You did something. You were now your owner of the tie, but you over in love in the Torah in name of Lo Sachmo. Don't covet. Covet means you desire and you do an action based on that. Lo Sisave just means that you're just having desire, but no action on that. You know, everyone knows the famous Ibn Ezra. How can Torah legislate on our emotion? Torah can tell us, keep Shabbos, don't eat this, don't eat something else, don't do that. Torah can legislate on our actions. Torah cannot legislate on our emotion. Right? How in the world Torah legislate that you should not have desire? Now you see such a beautiful tie and you desire it. It's a very nice tie, by the way. Right? You desire it. Why Torah tells us can legislate on our emotion? So Ibn Ezra says something very fascinating. He says that on Lo Sachmon. And he said the reason is like someone from a villager. Someone villager sees the daughter of the king, right? And he cannot have desire towards her because he knows it is impossible for someone from a villager to marry to royalty. That's impossible. What Ibn Ezra means like this. Ibn Ezra means like this. Now, I would love to fly, but my desire that I have to fly is not based on realistic expectation because I know I do not have wings. Right, I can desire whatever I want, but I know back of mind it's not based on realistic aspects. That's what Ibn Ezra says. You may desire her, but it's impossible because you know in back of your mind it is not based on realistic expectation. This is what Torah legislates on our emotion, that you must have a realistic approach in life. And you know, this desire that you have is not based on realistic things. It is not your house, like Torah says, Lo Sachmot, it's the house of your friend, the Eved of your friend, and your wife of your friend, and whatever is belong to your friend. It should not be based on realistic expectations because it's not just, it's not yours. Now, maybe we can give a fresh idea, right, that maybe even answer Ibn Ezra also, this question of Ibn Ezra. But the question is, why Lo Sachmot is the most important commandment in the Torah? Why that one should be the most, according to Rishonim, the most important commandment in the Ten Commandments? Why that should be the most important? You know, we have Basra Ma'amoros Nivra Olam. The world was created with the Ten Statement. Avraham Avinu went through 10 Nisyonos. Then we have 10 commandments. We have 10 Makos. All of them, they are related one to the other. Obviously, in the next 10 minutes, we are not going to talk about them. However, let's look at 10 Nisyonos of Avraham Avinu. One of his Nisyonos is that his wife is taken away from him by Paro. By Paro, his wife is taken away from him. That's one Nisyon that he goes through. About 25 years later, he goes to the city of Gerar, and the Melech of Plishtim takes his wife also. That's another Nisyonos. What is another Nisayon? It is the same thing. It's repeated. See, Nisayon doesn't mean test. A test that the teacher gives to know if the students study or not. God, before we do anything, he knows. He knows if we are ready to do something or not. He already knows. There's nothing that we can add to the knowledge of God. Test of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not to say if we do it or not. The test of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is for us to uplift us. Nisayon comes from word of Nes. Nes means a flag, a banner. Right? You raise a banner. Achar Devarim Ha'ele, Nisay Elokim Es Avraham. HaKadosh Baruch Hu lifted Avraham like a banner to the nations. That was Nisayon means. We have kohos, we have power that is hidden inside us. Everyone has kohos and nefesh. Everyone has potential. But the potential is no reality till a person brings it to the actuality by acting upon that. For example, I can sit down here and think to myself, $10,000 to Yaakov, $20,000 to Shiva, $30,000 this, and before I finish, I had, and obviously to Tia also another $50,000. By the time I finish, I already had given $1,000,000 out. So I'm a very generous person. No, I'm not a generous person. Till I actually put my hand in my pocket and give the money, right? We hear a lot of promises. The promises does not make a person be grow unless the person does an action about it. We have a lot of potential. In order to become actuality, we need to be to realize. We need to do an action. Once we do that action, then that potential become a reality. This is Nisayon. There is a potential in Avraham Avinu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to bring it out. So you already gave him that test. Why are you repeating again 25 years later? The same test. Why is two Nisayon the same time? So obviously they're different Nisayon. What is the difference is? By the first one, by Paro, Avram is going with Sarah. They're crossing the water and sees the reflection of Sarah on the water. And Avram says, I'll tell you that now I realize that you are beautiful. What happens? Because he saw her image on the water. By the way, Talmud tells us that Sarah, that all other women in front of Sarah, they were like a monkey in front of human being. Such a beauty to be wasted on a person who didn't even look at his wife. Can you imagine that? The only time he saw his wife was 90 years to the marriage, it's a reflection on the water. Can you imagine that? We must talk about it, why God needs to give such a beauty to Sarah when her husband doesn't even, or Rivka. Rivka, you know, Talmud tells us, right? Torah says she was beautiful. To whom? To Yitzchak that was blind, cannot even see. Why someone is blind is such a beautiful woman? Torah also talks about Rachel, you know, that she was Yefastuar, Yefasmare. What is this that about our mothers? Well, maybe invite me another time, we talk about that. But anyway, let's go back to what we were talking about, because we have only 7 minutes left. Oh, I never talk that fast. I usually talk very fast. My students, they tell me, "You, Rabbi, you talk too fast." I tell them, "I don't talk too fast. You listen slow, right?" But anyway, let's go back. This time I'm really talking fast because I'm getting tired myself. And then everyone sees the Sarah. Everyone is praise Sarah. Her beauty is good for royalty. And Paro marries Sarah. 25 years later, when she is taken, no word about her beauty. Nothing is mentioned in the Torah about it. The difference is, the first time, why Paro took Sarah? Because of lust. Because he desired her. The action, the crime is against whom? Very good, Sarah, right? The byproduct of that is Avram, because Avram happened to be the husband of Sarah. 25 years later, when Gerar, the king of Gerar, takes Sarah, has nothing with the beauty. He takes her because of what? Domination, right? He wants to dominate. Who he wants to dominate? Who wants to say that everything is blind to me? This crime is against who? The second time? Against Avram. That's direct crime against Avram. They're completely two Nisyonos. The first Nisyon is Nisyon of desire, Lotus Abe. The second Nisayon is the Nisayon of what? The Nisayon of domination. That Melech of Gerar wants to dominate. They had such rules also. Years ago, Talmud said by Romans, any bride needed to see the hegemon techila, right? Needed to see, right, the governor first. It was act of domination. That was the way it was. In the Ten Commandments, we have Lo Sin Af. And then we have here, Lo Sachmod Eshes Racha. Why is not the same thing? Lo sinaf, right? Don't do act of zinus, and don't covet the wife of your friend. It's both exactly the same thing. It's not just desiring, it's acting upon that. So why we have two different commandments? Because they're completely different. The first one is lost, lo sinaf. The second one has nothing to do with lust, has to do with domination. I see someone else's house, I want it, it's blind to me. I see someone else's donkey, I want it. Someone's, I know it's with no people, they don't have donkey. If I see someone else's donkey, I have no desire. I see someone else has a nice car, I want it, nice house, I want it. It is domination, it belongs to me, it comes to me. I'm entitled to it more than anyone else. That's domination. Lo sachmot has nothing to do with taiva. That's lot enough. Lo sachmot means you want to dominate. So we know what's the problem. Lo sachmot means you want to dominate someone else. What is the solution to that is? How can we refrain from domination of others? By the way, you know, kids, when they grow up, when they're born very selfish. They want always to dominate each other. This child is playing with one toy. His or her sibling starts playing with different toy, jumps and takes that toy. I want to play with that toy. You were not playing with that toy. Suddenly, you decide to play with that toy because your sister, your brother is taking that toy. It is not because he has a taiva to that toy, because he wants to dominate, wants to bully his sister or his brother. We don't have that problem in Misako. Bullying, right? We don't have. In the secular world, they have that. It is the biggest problem nowadays, bullying. I'm not sure it is because nowadays, because of different hashtags, people they are more aware of that, or it is really a bigger problem. How we are going to solve that people they should not be bullied? It is, that's the way life is. Children, they bully each other. People, even older people, they bully each other. Why? How we can not have a society that children or even grown up, they do not want to dominate someone else, not want to bully someone else. Rashi in Shira Shirin brings down a psikta. It's a midrash of Chachamim. He said the Ten Commandments, not that what's written in the Torah, in the tablet, you can read them horizontal instead of reading them vertical. Like many of my students, most of the time they're horizontal. They're sleeping, right? So you can read them also horizontal. Means the first one, Anokhi Hashem Lekecha, goes with the sixth one. What is the sixth one? Lo tirsach, very good. The second one is lo yilecha Elohim acharim. What is on the seventh one? Lo sina. Let's go to the last one. The last one is kabedes avicha v'simecha on the first tablet. What is the horizontal correspondent to that is? Lo sachmot. What is lo sachmot? Means if you want to have children that they should not dominate and bullying others, you need to teach them kibud avayim. Because what does kibud avayim means? Ma'achilo, mashkoho, malbisho, man'ilo, machniso, musio. All those things. Feed them, give them drink, do laundry, wash the dishes, bring them, take them. But all the things that the children, they think their mother is supposed to do for them, Torah says no. The child is supposed to be doing for the mother. You know that? Everything, because most children they feel the mother is their maid and the father is ATM, right? Torah says that's not the case. Whatever you think your children needs to do for you, really, you are supposed to be, whatever you think your mother needs to be doing for you, you are supposed to be doing for your mother. Means, in other words, you are not the center of the universe. The world doesn't evolve around you. Do you know the world evolves around who? Your mother, your father, those are the center of the universe, not you. A child grows up, becomes a bully, because the child feels everything is entitled to. Because the child feels, right, that he can dominate everything. He's the center of the universe, the world evolves around him. You must teach them from very youth that the world doesn't evolve around you, my child. The world, now it doesn't mean, sometimes it's good to tell a child, bring a cup of tea. A cup of coffee, that the child understands that he needs to do something for the parents. Doesn't mean that you should ask your children to bring a cup of tea. You should ask your children to bring a cup of tea sometimes for your father, for your husband. And sometimes your husband should ask the children bring a cup of tea for their mother. Because no one should demand their own respect. Mishnah tells us, kol horodef achar kavod, kavod barachas min. Anyone who demands respect is not worthy of respect. You never demand, and you should not be demanding on the children, because the whole message then becomes wrong. Because if you're bullying your children, which type of message you are going to give your children? Once in a while, do something for your father. So once in a while, your husband should tell the children, right, do something for your mother. The same thing, the father tells the child, that's not the way to talk to your mother. And the mother tells the child, that's not the way you talk to your father. The mother never tells the child, that's not the way you talk to me. And the father never should tell the child, that's the way. Nowadays it's very hard. Because nowadays, 90% of families are one-parent family. Not even by Jewish people, by from people. Because most of the time, husbands are not home. They are working. Once they come back, hopefully come for Shabbos. They're never there, right? The women are the one who runs the whole household, right? That's reality is. So the school should be the one who's telling the students, you need to respect your mother. You need to bring a cup of tea to your mother. I'm not sure the school, they are doing a good job or not. I'm not sure. The halacha teacher in high school, I don't think he emphasizes on that often. But here in middle school, they should do it because it starts when a person is young. Once a person becomes older, then they have a different problem. A person who wants to dominate others, wants to control others. Why? What is the reason a person wants always control others? Because a person doesn't have self-control. He never was taught self-control. A person doesn't have self-control, wants to control others. So he must be taught from very young age, that you are not the center of universe. That eventually, when they grow up, they understand, even the parents are not center of universe. But who is center of universe? HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Eventually, they will learn that is God, it's not them. It's not eventually, they understand, not their parents. But it is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, center of universe. Now you understand why Lo Sachmot is worse than the rest of that. Worse than denying God. Because Lo Sachmot is saying, I'm God. That's worse than denying even that God exists. Thank you much for listening. Wow.